Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
And this is Lana Love.
Welcome to our show. Today we have Elizabeth Joyce, author and renowned psychic, on our show today. And we're very excited to have Elizabeth. I was on her show many years ago on BBS Radio Network, where she had Let's Find Out as a radio show host. And we had a great show. It was one of my very first internet radio talk show interviews, and I'm very excited to have you back, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
So this is going to be a really great show. Elizabeth
so
has
the world-renowned psychic. Now, Elizabeth, you've written 12 books, I understand.
I've written 7 books. I'm noted in 12 books.
Oh, okay. Obviously, I my clairvoyant powers. To you, writing.
It's busy.
So I understand that you're very much a proponent of Louise Hay, and
she was my teacher. I worked with her for 5 years when she started the Hay Rides back in 1979 in the 80s when AIDS broke out.
Oh, really?
Wow.
AIDS broke out, and Louise came up to the top by teaching people about going within. And oh my goodness, it was quite something. I traveled between New York City and West Hollywood, California, and Louise would have 200 or 300 people come, and we would be in the back with our body tables, and anyone that wanted to come and have an energy treatment, that's what we would do. And we always were behind stage helping her with her productions. One of them was at the Paramount in New York City, and that's when they first introduced Shakti Gawain, Wayne Dyer, and a guy named Bernie Siegel.
How exciting! That is amazing.
Many of our listeners in our network certainly follow Louise Hay's work, and lots of amazing stuff.
And I understand you've also been an actress, and you played on TV as well.
I did commercials for 13 years, and I also I've done many of the psychic television shows. And yes, I did want to be an actress way back when. I feel like I missed my calling, but my mother was a born-again Christian, and we weren't allowed to do that. So I had to get married and retire for a while.
Sounds reminiscent of you, Lana. You often talk about how you wanted to be an actress at one time.
Well, I guess I have it in my blood. You know, my grandmother was an actress at
Alexandra.
That's right, that's right. But she ended up being her mother wanted her to be a doctor. She wanted to be an actress. So she started off being a doctor. The Russian Revolution broke out. She fled to Estonia, where she became an actress. And of course, I'm known for entertaining my patients. And of course, acting involves a lot of creativity. You know, I do a lot of hypnosis. And that involves not acting, but perhaps more creativity and I guess, expressing yourself. So, Elizabeth's very much, it sounds like, as well, a creative person who expresses herself in the psychic realm.
Oh, for sure.
Metaphysical more than the psychic realm, because psychic, the word has been so misused and defined.
I believe that
every person on the planet has a direct telepathic connection with the God source. I believe that. And I believe that a lot of people do not realize that. And I believe that the more you do realize that, the more you open to new beginnings, new energies, and new awarenesses. And it's just incredible, isn't it?
Mm. I guess that's how we connected, because our thoughts are, you know, and things are very similar that way. You know, our ideas of self as source, and I know from some of my past lives would probably say that words have been corrupted. Words like psychic and the meanings that we apply to those words are too broadly defined now. And so, I usually use metaphysics as well.
And of course, David is a metaphysician, would you say?
Metaphysicist would be a better term, I guess.
Well, maybe I'm a metaphysician, a doctor.
A metaphysician might
actually,
be.
Actually, metaphysician is the correct word.
Yeah, I think they would call a metaphysician an energy healer, but I guess, metaphysics deals with the energy, so.
Oh, interesting.
Metaphysics definition is research about things that we cannot see, touch, or feel.
Higher knowledge. For a definition.
So it's all about the sixth sense and beyond. It's about energy and invisible coincidences, as they say, all kinds of experiences that happen that cannot be explained. That's the study of metaphysics.
Right.
The paranormal and beyond.
Yeah, the paranormal
and beyond.
Of course,
when they call it paranormal, it is the normal. It's just this.
Well, they call it the paranormal because we live in an abnormal illusion that we think that's paranormal. You know what's funny to me? I don't know if you've ever thought about aliens. I'm sure you have, and people from other planets. And one time I had a dream, and the dream was all of these U.S. Guns and tanks and everything that they use were lining up to fight the aliens, but the aliens were invisible and the bullets went right through them. It was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical to have that realization that a lot of beyond this world's people or existences or life is not in the density that we know it as.
No, exactly. Yes. Yeah, very little of it actually is physical the way we are, and we don't realize that. We don't understand the invisible world. We don't realize that we're sort of the ones that are not. This is non-ordinary reality, really.
It's a chosen existence, David. For every soul has chosen to come here, and they come here for two reasons and two reasons only. The first reason is the growth of the soul. Sure. The growth of the soul is important because we go back and live in pods. And everybody has their own pod and their own vibration of energy, their own dimension. And you go back to the pod, but if you in a lifetime can change your vibration, you go back to a new pod and have all kinds of new lessons and new awarenesses. So that's why the soul is born into the physical body, and it is the only way that it can be done. And the second thing is to bring love.
Okay.
Yes. Sure.
Hang on, Elizabeth, did you say pod?
Yes.
As in, like, dolphin pods?
No, soul pods. I don't know if you've read Edgar Cayce or Ruth Montgomery, but Cayce wrote, "In my house are many mansions," and the Lord said, "In my house are many mansions." Well, the mansions, I have all this broken down in my book, Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, and I have it broken down dimension by dimension by dimension.
Oh, really?
The dimensions are where the souls go, and the soul chooses to journey by a decision of a peer group into the body, and with certain astrological challenges that it failed in the last lifetime. So the astrology chart is your fingerprint of life, it's your birth certificate, and you come in as a baby, and everything from the past is not in your consciousness. It's in your subconscious, but it's not in your consciousness. And you start to have a new experience, and a lot of them are tests to see how you react so that you can advance the soul.
Oh, God.
And that's the whole purpose of being born.
Diversity, then,
like I told you, this is the school of life. It's like a big experiment, and we go through our tests and
it's
challenge.
Not an experiment, David. Do not use it as an experiment. It is an opportunity and a challenge. Absolutely. Yes. And it is not an experiment. It is planned. Certain life changes are planned. We do not have a fated life. We have a life that at certain ages, we are going to have challenges that come from spirit. Age 13, age 28, age 36, age 45, age 56, and age 72. These are the ages, astrologically, where you, if you have passed your tests, will go into a new beginning on a higher scale.
You mean we can go into a different pod?
No. You go into a different pod if you achieve if you pass the test. In my book, Seeding and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, which is the latest book I wrote, I explain it in Chapter 6. Fascinating. Did you ever find that you're doing the same thing at 36 that you did at 13?
Yes.
And you're doing it differently. You're doing it with a greater awareness, and maybe you're working things differently. It could be with a relative. It could be about money. It could be about learning. But you go through these tests on a higher vibration every single time. And when you do that, you get to the point where you can release the old and outworn behavior and bring in new behavior. And what is that behavior? It's always love. Always love.
And love is certainly the greatest lesson. And I certainly started to learn that when I came on your show. I was going through that in my awakening. And it was, I didn't realize, I didn't have the slightest idea of what universal love and unconditional love meant, and forgiveness. These were all things I was experiencing right before, you know, meeting you, Elizabeth. And it was...
I remember that. You've done a great job, David.
Thank you. And it was an amazing revelation. I had no idea. I just didn't, you know, I'd met the divine
feminine. You were always very kind, though.
Well, you know, I had met the divine feminine essence, and I was being taught these things that you would think everyone would know. But if you don't have those experiences, you just actually don't know what love means.
That's
on those
true.
Deep
I believe that the way people learn to love is through experience, and it can be for good or for ill. And I also believe in the law of karma. What goes around comes around, but you never know when that's going to happen. And I always think the law of karma is exact. Although we don't know that. You ever have somebody come into your life and you wonder how they ever got into your life and what are you going to do with them, and they're such a pain in the you-know-what? Well, you call that person in. So if you look at it from a higher perspective, you can say, how did I bring this to myself? Why is this person in my life, and what is the lesson? And once you learn that lesson, once you can say it out loud, the person will be gone or the energy will change.
Elizabeth, I've heard so many people talk about and it makes sense, but something as a therapist that I have great difficulty with is situations where people are actually hurt, where they're abused. And I would be very careful and very hesitant. While with my patients, I'm very much always propose a sense of personal responsibility in the now, a sense of sovereignty. It would be very difficult, if not harmful.
Absolutely true. You're absolutely right.
Say sexual abuse into your life.
You can't. You can't defend it, and you can't correct it, and you can't make it okay.
Right.
What you can do is help the person understand that they don't have to have that any longer in their life. And that in itself will heal it. Once you empower them.
Yeah. You take away
that. Especially if they're a child, if they're 4 or 5 years old, you know it's karmic.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
I've had that.
Go ahead.
So while that's not something that perhaps we should talk about, are you actually saying that people who have had perhaps abuse of any form have in fact, I guess, inherited that karmically?
You always receive that which you've put out.
I've actually had women say this to me, that they've gotten into pre-life arrangements with their fathers to have abuse.
There's no such thing as pre-life arrangements. There's no such thing as contracts. There's no such thing as
pre-life. How do you know?
Well, because contracts
I don't know how I know it. I will tell you this. I have been taken off this planet in my light body many, many, many times.
Oh, okay.
And I have had telepathic conversations.
Right.
With light beings of very, very high mastery teaching.
Right.
If you read my books, you'll see it. I also was invited to another planet. I went with my son on this particular trip. It was a hoot. But and I learned how they work what we call flying saucers, how they work their movement things. And I learned all that in this awareness that I had. There was one time in Hawaii when I was off the planet for 3 days. And I went through 3 universes. I saw there were 3 universes, that we were the lowest one of the 3.
Oh, right.
And that the planets in the other universes were of different shapes, and they had different higher vibrations and more love. Then NASA in 1999 discovered a black hole and said there's another universe, and their planets are not our shapes. They're more elliptic. And I just went crazy because that's what I had seen when I went on that journey.
And you're talking about an out-of-body experience.
Yes, I'm talking about traveling with my light body.
Of course,
an out-of-body experience is different than traveling with your light body.
Really?
It's a little bit different.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you how it's different, okay? I've had the out-of-body experience when I was in a car crash. I had a head-on collision in 1979 with a drunk driver. And my husband had died and my son had been murdered. And they both greeted me halfway up my light trip and sent me back. That's an out-of-body experience. Or you can will yourself out of the out of body when you do remote viewing. Some people call that astral projection.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But traveling with your light body is different. Traveling with your light body comes from the support of the divine and the angels. Okay. And it's when they know that you are strong enough that you can take another vibration into you without harm, and they'll take you and show you new awarenesses, new locations, and they'll give you more knowledge and information. But you don't choose it. They do.
Yeah, okay.
It's grace. It's like the law of grace.
Interesting. Wow. What an experience.
And when you talk about pods, are you talking about systems and other planes of reality and that sort of thing?
I'm going to say, as is above, is below. And
right,
I'm also going to say that the computer is so much like our brain. Just think about it. We have all of these files and pockets and apps. Well, you can access your files, your memory files through past life regression. You know that, David.
Sure.
And you can access any knowledge that you want about any subject by asking your inner helper. Just have to ask.
That's Akashic Records. Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's the difference between the Akashic Records and the Book of Life? Do you know?
No.
No?
Sure, I do either.
No, please enlighten me.
What's the difference between the Akashic Records and the Book of Life? They are very different.
Akashic Records are your experiences, aren't they? That you get
Akashic,
from going
right, in. Very good. The Akashic Records is what you have already lived. The Book of Life is what you are living now. And once you die, it will become a part of your Akashic Records. Now, you can change the Book of Life if you know how to get to the great library and go and open your book and write in what you want to write in. I've done this in meditation in groups. You can change your current life by setting a condition, writing it down, and bringing it inside by, you know, repetition mantras. That's how you change your Book of Life. It's a slow process. It's not fast. But you can, and you can request. If you have psychic powers and you have a vision of something that might happen to you, you can request that that be lifted and to bring something else in that might be a little bit easier for you to work with. You can request that. And you can also fire your guides and get new guides if you don't like the way your life is.
Okay. So does that involve experiences that might involve the whole of mankind?
The what?
Does that involve experiences that might involve the whole of mankind, sort of changing?
If she changes her reality, will the outer reality change as well?
Yes, your outer reality will change. You're asking me if you can change the thoughts of a community or of a group?
No, I'm asking whether you can change various events.
She's what we're getting
okay.
to.
The rule of changing various events comes from the Buddha. The Buddha taught us how to do that. You need 1,000 people. You need 1,000 people in a room. That's all you need. And you bring them into a meditation, and all of you together decide what is going to be the mantra for you to state to change the event. And it will do it.
You see, this is my higher power speaking to you.
Oh, great. I mean,
this is Elizabeth speaking to you, but nonetheless, it's a shared concept.
Obviously, my current preoccupation, as people may
know, I went to Egypt with the ARE in 1996 because I was drawing a map of what was under the Sphinx, and I went with Ishmael, my teacher, and we were invited to go into the Great Pyramid. And we waited. We waited about 5 days until we felt it was right. And when we got up there, the two guards bowed at our feet. And they went in, they got everybody out of the pyramid. And they said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do the Great Initiation, which means I had to crawl on my stomach 280 feet down into the pit, which I did.
Very motivated.
And we sat in the pit and we meditated. And then there was a doorway that went up to the Queen's Chamber. And they said in the Queen's Chamber, you can change anything on the planet. So Ishmael and I wanted to find a cure for AIDS, because AIDS was rampant at that time, and I was working with Louise Hay. So we asked for a cure for AIDS or something that would help alleviate it, and within 6 months, something came out. Within 6 months of that meditation. It was powerful.
Wow. That is amazing.
So that's the one time that I know that what we did changed something on the planet.
That is amazing. So, I mean, no doubt you've heard of Planet X.
I didn't hear that word.
No doubt you've heard of Planet X.
Nibiru.
Yeah, that's a laugh.
I'm just a bit upset that potentially, possibly, I mean, they've found that, you know, the Neptune and Saturn seem to be sort of moved by some very large body. And, you know,
Neptune
there is,
and Saturn is not being moved by Planet X.
Oh, okay.
Okay? It's not. Let me tell you what it is being moved by. And this is in my workbook, Ascension Workbook. It's right. being moved by the new energy that came on the planet on 2012. It's called the double helix. The double helix is our new healing energy. And as we grow and shed our past beliefs that are all, they're novels, they're not true. When we begin to shed those and realize about this energy vibration and how it works, we're going to know the entire solar system is being changed. The entire lineup of the solar system is being changed. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find that there's more planets beyond Pluto, probably 3 or 4. And we're going to be in a different alignment. And eventually the sun is going to move into the center of the galaxy. It's turning and changing now. And there's a sun behind the sun, which is called the fifth dimension sun. Our sun is dying. I don't know if you know that, but there is a sun behind it.
So quickly, because I mean the you know suns. Well, I think it was said before that it would take about 1 million years for it to die.
Oh, it may take 2 million. I'm just telling you what's happening. I don't think it's going to be that long, though.
Because what I've noticed, I have noticed a change in the sun, and I looked up and I know yes. that sometimes the sun is much bigger and much more intense than it was before, and the whole atmosphere is different. I would say that it feels something like the atmosphere of a different planet. Like
that's neat. Well, what's happening is our sun is melting, and the new sun is shining around it, so we can't see that with the naked eye. So you're going to feel, what you're doing is you're feeling the new energy. This right. energy is so wonderful and so powerful that it eliminates almost all kinds of healing as we know it. The limited healing, the cutting and the limited healings that we have are going to be gone and it's going to be all different.
Oh, good.
And then this is the paradigm shift, I take it, that we've been experiencing.
Well, you can call it, people give it a buzzword, they do. But it's certainly a shift, and it's going to take time. It's not McDonald's. I tell everybody, we are not at McDonald's. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I think in the next 100 years, you know, every 100 years has been a profound discovery. For example, in the 1800s, they discovered the printing press and the toilet. They were very important. In the 1900s, we did airplanes and trains. And I want to know what we're going to do in this century. In the 21st century, we're going to have telepathic response. I know that's coming. And we're also going to find that our thoughts are going to manifest. Thoughts are things, and thoughts can bring you your good if you allow them to by removing your fear.
Oh, you see, lovely. I'm so big on manifestation.
You're getting the same message over and over that I've been telling you and that we've been repeating on this show. All of our guests have basically been saying the same thing about, you know, just creating your own reality and that
it's not easy if you don't know how.
Yes.
Remember, David, I told you about Radiance Healing and Pujita and
right.
Teresa in Australia. These two people besides myself are doing Radiance Healings, and we're the only one on the planet that are doing it, but I hope it will grow because I want to teach it. So I wrote the workbook. It took me 18 months and almost killed me. And in the workbook is the beginning of Radiance Healing and the new chakras. And I wrote a chart showing the new chakras and explaining all of the dimensions and all of the new chakras. We now have 14 chakras.
14? Oh, wow.
Yep. We have the 2-foot chakras, and then we have the 8, and then the 9th chakra is at the back of the neck, between the two occipital bones in the back of the neck. And when the 9th chakra opens, it creates a laser light between the 9th chakra and the 6th chakra. Picture it going through your vein, and what it does is it pierces the pituitary and the pineal together, and it brings the light out through the third eye, and about 6 inches in front of the third eye is your PowerPoint. So if everybody that's listening takes their right palm and puts it in front of their forehead about 6 inches and vibrates it back and forth, they'll start to feel that power. And that's the new power.
Bringing your power forward, bringing your consciousness forward,
like David Collins.
Yeah,
David Kolbe.
The new healing.
Okay.
Pushing consciousness.
How interesting. So does everyone have these new chakras yet, or do some people...
The new chakras have always been there since time immemorial, for 3,000 years. They have not been allowed to be activated because we have not had the energy on the planet to do it. But now that we have the energy of 2012... It's double helix, we can do it. And you have to be taught, I imagine. And then there's something called the circle of light. Once you get that third eye going, the circle of light, that's where you're going to manifest and do forgiveness. All in the circle of light. Okay. Any kind of a problem you have, you do. You put in the circle of light.
Does this have something to do with what Alexander and some of our other guests talk about with the activation of these new DNA strands?
You know how we only have we have two strands, and they say 12 strands are going
to
be.
We don't have two strands. Every person on the planet has 12 strands of DNA.
Okay. But they're not
active. We only have two that are active.
Right.
Okay. The rest are going to be activated. They're not activated in older people. They're activated in the new indigo, rainbow, and crystal children.
Oh,
and
sure.
We don't know when they're going to be activated, but I'm going to tell you something. You know autism?
Yes.
Autism are kids that are here with activated DNAs, and they don't know how to handle it. It's too much. And that's going to be worked on. This is fabulous stuff.
It is. I've often said that people that we see as mentally retarded, who may even be nonverbal, their souls are intelligent as anyone else.
Of course.
Their skin, and we don't understand that because... We think that because we can't communicate with them the way we do.
We judge them. Use that word. Okay. Yes. But the law of karma is exact, and the child has come in to have that experience for whatever reason, for the growth of their soul. So, and you know, you do have choices. Let me just make this straight. The criminals and the people that murder and the people that maim, you know, they're not in the light. I know that that is a fact, that there are people walking on the planet that choose not to be in the light. They love darkness. They love to make trouble. They love to argue. They love to hurt and maim. And that's what they have chosen. It doesn't mean they can't go back to the light and work their way up again.
I agree with that as well. And I've worked in criminal defense and with all kinds of people. And I believe that's true. I believe that we are not born sinners. I believe that we are of a divine nature and that we all have the ability to rise to a higher level.
And that we can all reform. David, let's adjust that a little bit. We are all born with the ability to access the light ray of God. If we access the light ray of God, we all have, through our astrological chart, potential and great gifts. And we bring in from past lives our ability to play the piano, our ability to sing, our ability to give to mankind. But when we come in and the physical ego part of us refuses to allow the soul to shine, we have free will.
Very true.
You're walking away from it instead of embracing it. And that's the ego, E-G-O, easing God out.
Yeah, we do have to tame the ego. That's always been a problem. We do bring our baggage with us from our past lives that we have to sort out. But we can certainly do that.
When a child is born, and you know I'm in New York City, so when a child is born up in the Bronx and they see Uzis from the time they're a year old and they're ducking bullets at three, what do you expect?
Right. Mm, yes.
It's very sad.
Wow, so much to talk about. Look, we're going to have to take a break soon, but just before we do that, could you tell us what your website is so that people can have a look? And then we do need to talk about all of your books. My goodness, I want to buy all of your books.
I'm Elizabeth Joyce. I'm located in Philadelphia and New York City. My website is www.new-visions.com. And my 24-hour service number is 201-934-8986. But if you go to new-visions.com, all of my books are there. They're also on amazon.com.
Excellent. Okay, let's take a break. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love, everybody. This is David Love.
And this is Lana Love. Welcome to our show.
We have Elizabeth Joyce, author and intuitive counselor on our show today,
who is incredibly knowledgeable and who has had experiences that we would only dream about.
And someone I know well from doing a guest show on her BBS radio show years ago, Let's Find Out, And we're so glad to have you back, Elizabeth. And we're having
Thank
a great
you,
show. We're having a great time. Thank you.
Yes, we are. And I'm going to be so glad when the heart opens and really sees that a lot of what we tell ourselves is to scare ourselves.
That's so true.
You know, this planet believes in war. We think that war wins, and that if we fight, and if we have people come and fight, or if there's some kind of a weather danger, then we feel comfortable because it's what we know. So we make these stories up. But I'm telling you that everything is right on track. We are about to have an advanced society. It may take 75 years. It may take 150 years. The first thing we have to do is go through the destruction. Destruction comes before reconstruction. And that's what we're in now. This is called the middle mutable years of 2001. The 2000s, the middle mutable year. So the mutable means Gemini, Sagittarius, that's where the nodes are. And the middle years are 2010 through 2025. Go back to 1900s and between 2010 and 2025, we not only had World War I, we had the Worldwide Depression.
Sure.
So we're going to echo that in this timing. Starting this October, and we're going to have to go through these changes. Only this time, we're hoping that more people will surrender and understand what love is. Love is not something that's going to come and crash the planet. Love is not being annihilated by aliens. It's not. Those are fairy tales. Those are novels. Those are whatever.
That's
the
true.
Truth is that we have an opportunity to open our bodies, our soul bodies, and our minds to something new. It's like going to a Sunoco station instead of the old Exxon station. And filling our crown chakra with an energetic vibration that's higher than we've ever known before. It's called the double helix. It comes from the fifth dimension. And with that, what happens is people start to leave our life. People start to yell at us and get mad at us. We get fired from our job. We get divorced. Our kids won't talk to us. That is the beginning of creating your new reality. You have to let go of your old habits and your old responses and change and see that that's what you have to do. Then you will grow with the soul and you'll be given gifts beyond knowledge.
Because
gifts that you can't even dream of.
So Elizabeth, so this will be happening on an individual level or on a national
level? This is happening on an individual level. It began on the 21st of December, 2012.
What happens as above, so below, and as within, so without. What happens on an individual level in your mind is what happens out in the world. And if you stand in your power and within your truth, and you focus on your truth, on love and on kindness and on compassion and empathy.
Well, that's hard to say. That's I understand what you're saying, David, but let's say it so people could understand it, because that sounds like, oh my God, I'd love to do it, but I can't. The trouble is you can. And how do you do it? You do it with love. For example, if somebody comes up and insults you, if I come up and say, David, you're horrible, I can't stand you, your response is, well, thank you for sharing. God bless you and your truth.
True. I know that's
And then you bless them, and you understand that they are not choosing to have an interchange with you. And the sad part about it is, David, that person has hostility and anger, and you don't. You're fine. Doesn't matter.
That's their stuff, their opinion, and it's not my stuff.
That's right. And that's what's changing. The people that are, the corporations are changing, the pharmaceutical companies are changing, the leadership is changing. You see it everywhere.
Okay, things are going to be changing, not, or are changing, not just on an individual level, but on a national and international level.
And they're going to have to be, and that's part of why we have the weather changes, because the weather changes are waking people up.
True.
And some of it is man-made and some of it isn't, and that is true.
Things are complicated, but as we lose our fear, and as we lose our fear of global warming, and as we lose our fear of a collapsing economy, and we stand in our truth, we will endure and we will be victorious. I believe that is true.
It is true. Let's take a look at China for a moment. Okay. And I want to go to weather and, I want to go to how they never clean anything. What is that word? Sorry about
that. You accept the lies.
Pollution? Pollution?
Pollution, yes. Let's go to the pollution in China. Okay. And we know how bad it is over there. In fact, it's so bad. My son went over to Hong Kong and he had to wear a mask and his whole body broke out in huge sores. So let's look at that. And then all of a sudden, they get a plague that kills off three quarters of the country. Now, is that something that they did? Or is that something that evolved its way up?
I don't know.
It evolved its way up because they were so careless. It's not a deliberate thing. It is something that happened over a period of time. I'm just giving you an example of how this energy works. And the energy can be corrected by putting in the things that you have to put in to clear the air or stopping dumping stuff into the water.
So what you're saying is it's sort of almost like the earth is responding with something like a plague or earthquakes or whatever to knock off the humanity that pollutes.
Not exactly, but the earth certainly is responding to the way it's being defiled. Look at Japan and look at the Fukushima and look at the all the dead fish 50 miles out.
Such a mess. Yes, and it's actually
50 miles out, all the fish are dead. Now they're finding in California that they've got this contaminated fish.
That's right, yes, and it's only going to get worse and worse.
But nobody realizes it. The air you're breathing in Australia tonight was the air I was breathing in New York yesterday. Same air. But it comes around. It comes around to everybody. And once we get to learn this, we're not going to drop a nuclear bomb.
No.
We're not going to go and take a poison and fill Atlanta with it because it's going to come everywhere else.
And we are powerful.
These are just very small lessons that are there. Very small lessons that I'm trying to show you that we have control of what we do and how we act and once this becomes a universal consciousness, we have to change the consciousness.
Yes.
Then we're going to have a world of cooperation.
Oh, exactly. I'm all for doing that.
We are powerful beings, and we need to accept our inner power, and we need to take responsibility for our manifesting. And if we all
Absolutely.
Do that, we will change the global reality.
The only problem is there's another, billion or
there's
so?
There's an opposite. There is an opposite. There's always an opposite. Why? Because we're in a polarity world. So there's an opposite to every good, there's a bad. To every disappointment, there's a smile. So let's look at that. What's happening is the opposite is being forced to either disintegrate or grow. Yes. They have a choice. They're either going to be wiped out or they're going to grow. Now, this is not going to happen overnight, and this is not going to happen easily because change is hard. When you change the status quo, people get uncomfortable, and desperate people do desperate things.
That's right.
And then people take their anger when they're mad at their mother or their brother or their father, and they go down into Missouri, and they march for this kid that was killed, and they go off the deep end and become fanatics. And that's everywhere in the world. I was just giving you an example. People become fanatical and focus on something negative and make that negativity grow because they are so full of pain and anger and hurt.
And that's the thing. When you try to kill the darkness, you actually become the darkness.
You don't kill darkness. You melt it away with love.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was saying. There you go. That was perfect, David, because there's your example of war. There's your example of upset and disharmony. Anything in disharmony is going to grow in disharmony.
Right,
anything that's in harmony, so what we want to do is create a balance.
Yeah, you can't stop war with war. That vibration just grows bigger.
Okay, so Elizabeth, my question to you is this. It seems like there, while the light is growing, the dark can be growing as well. And for every enlightened person on this planet, it seems like there might be 10 unenlightened ones.
But we need
to do, we need to wake up people, and we need to improve. We need to allow human consciousness to.
Well, you know what? I think it's happening, and it happens with some of our leaders. For example, take Dr. Bernie Siegel, who was a top cancer doctor at Yale University, and he wrote a book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and that changed people's lives. Louise Hay wrote You Can Heal Your Life, and she sold 10 million copies, and it's in 10 different languages. So that's attrition. That's how it happens. It happens through example, and it happens through what you give out. So that's why it was Gandhi that said, you have to love them, you have to love them even more. Do not hate the people that thwart you. Love them.
Well, you can't eliminate the things that you don't like because it always comes back to you, and it comes back with a vengeance at some time.
You can eliminate it through the power of love. You can have it
transforming.
You can have it gone when you're not getting anything out of it, when you accept it, and when you surrender.
Okay, so Elizabeth, let me give you an example. Say we've got Russia and we've got NATO and the US, basically the military leaders wanting to blow each other up. What do we do? Do we sit and meditate in our houses and meditate on love? Or do we join some sort of counter-movement?
I don't think I would join a counter-movement. The only counter-movement that you need to get, David, is to just get that 1,000 people in that room. You have to understand that some of this is destiny. Russia will start the last days. This is history. This is written. It's been written for 2,000 years.
But this
so
is not necessarily history.
If this is destiny, like John Kennedy was destiny. Let me finish. John Kennedy was destiny. Robert Kennedy was not destiny. Robert Kennedy chose his death. John Kennedy did not. It was destiny. So what I'm trying to say is you can work as far as you can work, and you can bring in your space that love. And as long as you continue to do that, you know it's going to go out and grow. You know it is. And that's about all that we can do in our everyday life. But how many people, even the ones that are light workers, don't? And I'm telling you, do you know this? There are 5% light workers on the planet, and the rest of them are not.
Okay. We have heard this.
5%.
All right, so those of us that are light workers, it is important not only to focus on love, but it sounds like it's imperative that we start these groups of 1,000 people.
We are doing that.
Absolutely. And you know, they're called Bluebell communities. We're going to have them all over the world, the land has already been chosen and placed, and they're going to be called Bluebell communities, and they're going to be surrounded by some kind of a blue protective light. And I'm going to tell you that blue protective light that comes is going to come from off the planet. It's going to come from another area. Who cares where? I don't care. I don't care if it's an Anacturian or nebulae or Pleiades. The blue lights are going to come in. They're going to have bubble communities, and they're just going to wait it out. It's 3.5 years in and 3.5 years out.
Okay. Is this similar to sort of New Earth Project and all the other
Yes. And a lot of people are building centers where they want to have communities of like mind.
Right. Self-sustainable living communities or intentional living communities or villages.
And that's what we need to do.
Going back to the 1,000 people that can actually change things, does that have to be geographically the same place, or can that be people communicating with each other telepathically?
That's a good question. It has to be geographically in the same place, from what I understand. Let me tell you about the Buddha and the Bodhisattvas. In 1989, I was down in Arizona, Sedona, Arizona, meditating, and I saw through my third eye that there was a planet coming towards the Earth, and that it was going to come 16 miles this side of the moon. Okay, I got so scared. I knew one man in Canada, his name was Stephen, that worked for the CIA and worked for the people that do NASA and all of that kind of research work, and I called him up. And he gasped when I called him. He said, "How did you know that?" And I said, "I saw it in my third eye." And he said, "Yes, it's happening, and we just hope that we can divert it, but we don't know if we can." In the meantime, I had another friend in New York City, Kenny, who knew the Dalai Lama. So he called the Dalai Lama's office. Right. And the Dalai Lama simply laughed and said, "We've got it. We've got 1,000 people in a Paris church, and they've been chanting for 3 days."
Oh, wow. That's very reassuring.
And certainly this is things
that
we...
Isn't that incredible?
Wow. We talk about this with our other guests, about this, you know, global meditation and about staying the course, you know, that we've been working on for quite some time. For me personally, if I hadn't met someone like you, Elizabeth, and a number of our other guests like Dr. Edwige Bing and Alexandra, and I didn't keep receiving this message, I wouldn't have gotten it. I just, you know, you have to keep hearing it and realizing.
Well, you would have gotten it one way or the other. We're just a messenger for you, David. You're with us. Don't worry, you're in the pack.
But everybody
has to become the teacher of light. I told you, David, that I see you really being a leader, and I also see your wife really being a leader, and that's wonderful to me. And it's going to happen, and there are a lot of people that are being touched and chosen, and they're working on it now. But I do not like the ones that have the mumbo jumbo, the ones that are using scare tactics, that are telling you terrible things, like you deserve to be sick, or it's all your fault, or give me $100 and I can take care of it, and all that kind of stuff. That is 90% of the psychic and the healer out there. 90% of them are in it for the money. They're not in it for true, pure healing work. It's the truth.
It's not altruistic, and you have to, and that's cause for, you know, developing our psychic centers and discernment and our powers of perception.
And working the new chakras. You wanted me to talk about my books. Let me tell you about Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, and the Ascension Workbook. That's key to the future. If you want to know about the future, if you want to understand the vibrations, and you want to know how the Earth is going to change and go through, it's called the null, and go through the 3 days of darkness and then 3 days of light and change and go into the galaxy, it's in that book. The other thing that's in that book is every single chakra. I explain every single one of them. I explain every single dimension. I explain how to heal each chakra. And, you know, when you know it's open, the new third eye, which I just explained to you, the new third eye with the PowerPoint in front of it, it's all in the workbook. It took me 18 months to write that book, and I lost everything that I had. I lost everything. I was going through such emotional changes, you wouldn't have believed it.
Really?
Oh, and then the book was written, and it was finished. Then after that, I just finished writing the Healing and Nurturing the Garden of Your Soul, which tells you about natural law, how to conduct yourself, what you can do and what not to do to have your soul grow. Mm.
And certainly I support your work, Elizabeth, and I endorse you. Because a lot of what you say is certainly reminiscent of what I know and what's in my personal truths. So,
if you read it, you'll process. In other words, say, David, you chose to read Ascension and you started to read it. All of a sudden, everything is going to snip, snap inside of you. And all of your corpuscles are going to open up, and you'll access another strand or two of the DNA when you read that book. You'll process.
Okay, so you've written 5 books. Do you suggest we start from the beginning? Do you suggest we start from the beginning, or are your later books a summary?
It depends on what you want. The first book I wrote was Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? And that was about entities and gypsies and how they steal from you and the difference between a fake psychic and a good psychic. The reason I wrote that book, I wrote it in 2007, was because I had been to court 4 times to help people that had paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to these gypsies, and we were able to get the money back. So I wrote a book about it. The second book I wrote was Ascension. Then I wrote the workbook, and that's important for now. I said now. If you want to know what's happening now, you want to read Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension. Then the other 3 books, I wrote a trilogy. That was the year that my sister was very ill. She was my identical twin, and she passed away with pancreatic cancer, and I really couldn't write. So I took all of my classes that I have taught for the past 30 years, and I put them in order, and I wrote book 1, book 2, and book 3 about how to develop yourself from within. And there's all kinds of information and exercises and subjects. Oh,
okay. Elizabeth, sorry, we have 90 seconds left. We have to have you back on our show. But if you can just mention your website again.
Sure. Thank you. It's www.new-visions.com. And my 24-hour number is 201-934-8986.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
This was a great show. I'm so glad to have reconnected with you.
So much information.
It just flew by, didn't it?
So important.
I just want to thank Doug as well for producing this show, and he's a good friend of both of ours and very enlightened man. And we've got about 30 seconds, so just want to say thank you to everyone for listening to the show. Thank you for tuning into Universal Soul Love with Dr. Lana Love and David Love and Elizabeth Joyce, our guest today.
And we love you all, and we send light and healing and ascension to you all. And we'll be back again next week.
I believe we'll have Sasha Stone on our show, I think.
Very soon, yes.
We did an exciting interview with him. Okay,
so. All right. So.
See you next time on Universal Soul Love.